PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning for an update on our results for the first half of the financial year. My name is Ian O'Doherty. I'm the Chief Executive of Appreciate Group. I'll start by providing some of the highlights from this period. I'll then hand over to Tim Clancy, our Chief Financial Officer, to provide a more detailed overview of the financial results, after which I'll follow with an update on our strategic plans before the usual Q&A session. It's been a period when we have made further progress in delivering our strategy. On this slide, I'm showing some details of that. So if I start at the top row up on the left, we're continuing to grow digital billings and transition to a more digital-led business. Digital billings were up over 15%, despite less activity through the free school meals scheme in this year. And remember that last year, for a period during the first lockdown, there were really only digital solutions available to our customers. Moving across the top row, we continue to prioritize our more profitable multi-redemption product over single-store cards. Multi-redemption was up by over one-fifth to £103.1 million. Paper also continues to fall. It's down from 19.2% to 14.5% within our product mix. This benefits us by requiring less operational support. In the bottom line, on the left there, you'll see we've been strengthening our digital marketing expertise, and this is helping us drive more traffic to our website. Visits to our highstreetvouchers.com website are up by one-third. And we're extremely proud to have achieved a Great Place to Work certification for the second year running, and with an improved trust index score. This shows that the workplace culture aspects of the transformation are proving successful. Feedback from colleagues across the business gives us the opportunity to make further enhancements. And then finally on this slide, our platform is now more robust and scalable and puts us in a stronger position to drive growth. This is what we set out to do when our transformation strategy was introduced back in 2018. With much of the transformation now complete, we are now focused on leveraging the platform and driving growth. I'll talk to you in more detail about this later in the presentation. Slide 5 shows a summary of the financial highlights, which Tim will discuss in more detail shortly. Looking across the top line, billings for the period was £118.2 million, up 19.6% versus last year, and broadly similar to H1 in the financial year before that. That is, in the last year of normal trading before the pandemic struck. Our Q2 performance has been especially strong. Whilst the first quarter saw the impact of a delay in customer behaviour returning to normal, Q2 is ahead of the same period for the previous two financial years. This gives us momentum for the important Q3 peak trading period. Revenue is up significantly, an increase of almost half to £41 million. Many of our customers have chosen to defer their spending during the lockdowns, but following the return to more normal times, that deferred revenue is coming through as we expected. All of what I've just mentioned has led to a loss of £2 million this half year, which is significantly better than last year, and one which is more in line with the half year for the financial year 2020 prior to the pandemic. The first half last year was particularly impacted by lockdowns and included some exceptional items for business restructuring. As a reminder, the seasonal nature of our business means that we historically have recorded a loss for the first half of any given year. Our financial position remains robust. We are yet to use the revolving credit facility put in place last year to support our transition to increased digital billings, and we don't anticipate using it in the current financial year. And all of this means we are pleased to declare an interim dividend of 0.6 pence per share. This is up on last year's interim dividend of 0.4 pence per share. Slide 6 shows the month-on-month billings trends compared to the same periods for the last two financial years. The current year's numbers are shown in orange in both graphs. The top graph is the comparison with last year, where cumulative billings at the end of H1 are 19.6% higher. The second graph is the comparison with the year before. Cumulative billings here are 1.7% down overall, with a strong performance in the months of Q2. Within these numbers, however, we have seen an impact from COVID on smaller corporate clients who are not yet recovering as quickly as medium and large-sized organizations. I'll now provide our usual update on the segmental highlights. Looking at corporate first, billings of £79.9 million were up by over one-fifth on last year and just ahead of the year before. Demand from medium to large clients is returning to those levels seen before COVID, and recurring client business is back above 90%, in line with pre-pandemic periods after a fall seen last year due to the lockdowns. Looking at the consumer side of our business next, billings were £37.7 million, which is 17.4% ahead of last year and 4% down on the year before. Profitability has benefited from deferred profit and no exceptional costs in the current year. Our Christmas savings order book for 2021 has completed 14% down on prior year, which is as predicted in previous updates. This concludes the highlights. I'll now hand over to Tim.
Thank you, Ian. Results for the 6 months to September 21. Page 10 is the profit statement, where we compare against both last year and the prior year to fully understand the normal seasonal loss. Billings recovered in the post-COVID period, 20% ahead of last year due to corporate businesses returning to normal and a benefit on the timing of Christmas savers dispatches. Revenue was 49% above last year and 23% above the previous year. Revenue is recognised in the P&L at time of redemption, and as customers returned to normal spending patterns, this gave a boost in the period. Gross margin also increased from last year by over 6 points to 23% as the product mix improved. Admin costs include an additional one-off pension charge, but as we come out of the transformation period, we're focusing on cost efficiencies, and admin costs will come down both this year versus last and next year further again. An operating loss of £2 million is considerably better than last year's COVID-impacted loss and back in line with the pre-COVID level from the year before. Finally, no exceptional costs report. Last year, we were starting to close down the hamper packing business and took a £1 million hit. Page 11 shows the comparison of billings and revenue. As a reminder, in-house multi-retailer products are reported net in revenue. Third-party single-store products are reported gross in revenue. Our in-house product mix remains high in billings, but larger volumes of our flexible digital codes were converted to single-store products, meaning single-store revenue is much higher than billings. This is something we saw last year too. Other income was lower in both billings and revenue due to the closing of our hamper packing business, where billings and revenue were both reported gross. Over the page, and our segmental performance is split between consumer and corporate sectors. Billings were ahead in consumer due to the timing of Christmas savers dispatches, which you can see more clearly on the next slide. The consumer loss is reduced substantially, with no exceptional costs and higher deferred revenue coming through. Customer numbers were ahead for both Christmas savers and other consumer, but the final order book for Christmas 21 will be, as predicted, down 14% on the prior year. In corporate, billings were ahead as demand picked up, greater revenue from deferred spending patterns, a reduced loss, and higher client numbers. Billings by market show the timing of dispatches on Christmas savers increasing the first half number, but this will reverse in the second half. Other consumer was ahead by 49%. In the corporate areas, customer incentives volumes were maintained more than other areas during the last year. The pre-COVID level was at a similar level. However, corporate clients returned to normal working patterns, and that has driven growth in both staff rewards and employee benefits. Intermediaries includes free school meals, although this element was slightly lower than the previous year. So overall, a strong recovery in corporate, 24% ahead of last year and ahead of the previous year as well. Billings by format show further progress, with the paper mix down at 14% of overall product mix and growth in card now above 60% of product mix. Digital mix was fairly flat, boosted last year by the free school meals campaign. As a reminder, a greater mix of regulatory products generates higher margins, but also consumes more cash in the short term as we hold on to the value of these billings in our eMoneys trust. Slide 15 shows further analysis on our corporate business. The chart on the left shows a bounce back in retention levels from corporate clients. As you can see, this dropped during the pandemic, but has recovered strongly to 99% in the first half alone. On the right, a reminder of our long-standing client base, with 40% of our first half billings coming from clients who have been with us for 10 years or more. If we delve into our corporate clients more closely, one trend we have seen is that small clients are not returning as quickly as our larger clients. Using an order value of 5K as a differentiator, the orange bars show client numbers for small clients down on previous levels by about 20%, whereas larger client numbers, in the blue bars, have returned to previous levels. The next page shows our corporate clients by sector of their operation. Looking at our clients by category, this shows stronger demand from clients in FS, education, leisure, food and drink. Not a surprise as the country came out of lockdown. However, on the far right, SME clients have not recovered to pre-pandemic levels yet. Turning our attention to redemptions, the grey bars show much higher redemption values over the summer months than both last year and the pre-COVID year as we came out of the lockdown. Values of redemptions had normalised by September. This increase over the summer is what's driven higher revenue recognition and released the deferred profits into the first half of this year. Continuing with the redemptions on the next slide, there was a bounce back in store redemptions shown on the green line, but still an increasing online redemption trend shown by the blue line. The bars on the chart show spend by redemption category, with increases in both fashion and lifestyle as customers returned to normal habits. On the balance sheet, a further increase in non-current assets due to technology investments. Continuing high levels of cash in trust, but free cash was reduced due to a catch-up in customer spending, although September was the low point in the cycle, and free cash was up to $34 million by October. During the first half of the year, we reviewed our rules for ring-fencing of funds relating to digital code activity, and this review led us to release an additional £11 million of funds into free cash, which were previously held in trust. The cash flow chart on 21 shows continuing cash moving into trusts in the first half, as last year, with dispatches of product growing towards the peak period. CapEx relating to the ERP program and other digital developments amounted to £2.4 million. Also, there was the reinstatement of the dividend payment, which was cancelled in the previous year. Looking into the cash position in more detail on the next page, the charts show familiar patterns. In the top left, you can see Christmas savers balances with a similar shape from a lower order book. eMoneys on the bottom left continues to grow as we drive more regulatory products, and free cash in the top right reducing over the summer months as customer spending patterns normalised to a low point in September. Overall, total cash showed a similar pattern to prior years. So in summary, a recovery in performance with the usual seasonal loss reduced back to pre-pandemic levels, driven particularly by larger clients returning to normal. There is no change in the outlook for the balance of this financial year. We expect positive free cash each month and expect the transformation benefits to start coming through in lower administration costs. And with that, back to Ian for an update on the strategy.
I'll now update on our strategic progress and, as I mentioned earlier, how we are evolving our strategy following the progress we have made. In December 2018, we introduced a strategy to drive a transformation in our business, which was in need of significant modernizing. This strategy set out to deliver a more robust and scalable platform on which to drive growth. We set out four strategic pillars using the acronym PACE for productivity, appeal, clarity, and experience. This has helped us to successfully deliver the more robust and scalable platform we need. Our strategy has always been to support delivery of growth, but with the majority of the transformation work complete, our strategic focus can now shift to focus more specifically on that growth. We are evolving from PACE and focusing on really leveraging the investments made and delivering on our growth ambitions. We are emphasizing four key areas: performance, products, partnerships, and platform, which I'll now go into in more detail. Performance is the first of the four areas of emphasis. This focuses on understanding our customers better, really delivering for them, and growing our core products, whilst of course remaining efficient on costs. Here we will continue to reduce operating costs through simplification, efficiencies, and automation. We will prioritize investment and resources to optimize products, customer experience, as well as growth. We will focus on optimizing systems performance and reliability and improving the customer experience, where we've already made good progress. We will ensure our people have the skills and expertise to support our focus on growth. And lastly, we aim to increase the penetration of our existing range in our current markets. On the right-hand side of the slide, in the circles, we have some examples of things we've already done as well as things we plan to do. The top two are the things we have already done. Some examples of things we've already done include: we've reduced seasonal temps by 13% in the current peak period following the operational enhancements we've introduced. This has also driven a 30% fall in customer care calls and far fewer complaints. Some examples of things we plan to do include: where we've considerably strengthened our data and insight capability, we now want to leverage this and drive further improvements. And we will conclude our new ERP system and look to fully leverage it to operate more efficiently and effectively. Products are the second of the four areas of emphasis. We are focused on providing customers with market-leading products integrated across our channels with a digital-first focus, whilst remaining agile to customer needs. Here we will leverage the high levels of brand awareness for Love to Shop, our hero brand, to support all our lines of business. We will make end-to-end customer journeys easier for our purchasers and recipients. We will further develop our proposition and target how we approach our markets. And we will streamline our selling solutions for corporate clients, making it simple and build on the progress being made. Here again, we've offered some examples. Things we have already done include: this month we launched our first Love to Shop campaign, which supports all products during the Q3 trading period. We launched a new MasterCard-enabled prepaid card for Christmas savers. We call it the Purple Card, which has been driven by the recent savers' behavior we have seen. Some examples of things we plan to do include developing a multi-generation product roadmap, including single redemption channel, where we will streamline and simplify how our customers redeem their products to make the end-to-end journey simpler, easier to understand, and more appealing. We will also optimize the sale of digital products to prioritize Love to Shop over third-party codes. The next area of emphasis is partnerships. This is about enhancing our services and reach to customers through great partnerships and building and expanding upon the partnerships we already have. Here we will develop new and existing partnerships to broaden distribution and sales. We will strengthen our approach through customer insight, focused on both sales and retention. And we want to evolve the focus towards account development rather than account management. We also plan to strengthen self-service capabilities as well as targeting customers to re-engage with us. Here again, we offer some examples of things we have already done. These include the partnership with PayPoint, which we introduced earlier this year. It is providing us with physical distribution for our digital products through 28,000 UK outlets. We've also been improving our digital marketing data and insight capabilities, and we want to take that much further. Some things we plan to do include growing payment and processing services to selected partners and broadening self-service capability and strengthening our platform service propositions as value-added services. Platform is the final area of emphasis. This is focused on developing our websites, apps, services, plus back-office processes to deliver for our customers. Here we want to improve and enhance highstreetvouchers.com to deliver improved experience and conversion. We want to maintain our focus on back-office processes and simplification. We will introduce a release rollout approach to support ongoing technology improvements. We will maintain our important focus on regulation, trying to anticipate rather than react. And lastly, we will strengthen our conversion rate optimization capability. Some examples of things we have already done include: conversion rate optimization has been instilled as a foundational discipline, and has delivered a 32% increase in web traffic to highstreetvouchers.com. Some examples of things we plan to do include: we will transition our FlexiCode solution to a digital order API, making it industry standard and easier to add partners. And bulk order capability is being rolled out for highstreetvouchers.com e-code orders. So as you can see, much has been achieved, but we are not stopping here. We are evolving our strategy to emphasize growth and build on the more robust and scalable platform we have created. So in summary then, our first half performance has been robust, with a strong Q2 and encouraging trend for Q3 peak period so far. Our platform is now more robust and scalable, and we are much better positioned as a result of the investments we have made. Our focus is now evolving from fixing the platform to leveraging it to drive growth in our business.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.